The University Jingle Bells ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the first organization, Professor Dan Maggio. What's going on, Dan?
I'm excited. Christmas is getting closer.
It is true.
I love the season. Noel night is tomorrow night.
Yep.
Enjoy.
So lots of fun
I'm
stuff
super
going
excited.
On. Yeah, should be fun. I'm told many, many times to bring wads and wads of cash.
Yes.
Oh, useful.
Sale. Yeah.
Good way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I would read through the brochure because you can't possibly see a third of this in one night.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And also some things are at certain times, so you have to make sure.
Okay. Maybe that's a good point, actually.
The first year will be a learning year for you and your family.
Okay.
So.
I mean, I have a certain understanding of that. I've only been to Disney World two times in my entire life. And yeah, I'd put
that's
those two together to make 1/5 of everything that they've got going on down
there.
That
would be good preparation.
Get a good analogy. Mm-hmm. I understand Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies always has a good time down at Noel.
Oh, yes. Can't believe this is the 43rd Noel night in downtown Detroit. Because I think I started about 9 or 10 years ago, but I wouldn't miss it.
That's awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. The man who makes it all happen is Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
So it's a pleasure to be here as opposed to down there sweating and fretting it out. That's all. I'm leaving here after this, going back down there.
And his students and former students are going to be selling their wares down there.
Their wares.
And mind you don't have to bring cash, Matt. I've also got all my students outfitted for square readers,
square.
Too. So your credit cards work very well.
Right.
That makes it so much easier.
Yeah, cash and carry.
We literally have got the whole day planned. My 12-year-old has a basketball game. We're going to grab some dinner, and then we're heading downtown. So it should be a lot of fun. Professor Kendra Evans is here from Chemistry and Biochemistry. You are cradling a cup of coffee like we do at this time of year.
That's correct. I am savoring the delicious cup of coffee, which complements the delicious cookies.
Perfect.
Quite nicely.
If the cup was large enough, you'd be sitting in it, right?
Yes. I would have more coffee more often if it were available at this time of year.
Has anybody ever purchased a candle that's coffee smelling?
No.
Because nobody in my family is a coffee drinker, including myself and my wife. But my 7-year-old and myself are addicted to the smell of coffee. I love the smell of coffee. I just don't like to drink it.
Coffee and bacon in the morning are just the best smells to wake up to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the thing is, I always think about it this time of year. He's gone shopping with me for Christmas. My uncle always requests the same thing, just a really good bag of coffee beans. We go shopping. We get back into the car after hitting another store, and the whole car is filled with that smell. And Lorenzo's like, oh, Dad, that's the best smell. And I'm like, you don't want to drink it. You don't want to drink it, but it smells really good.
I got to get you guys like Mr. Sketchy Markers or something like that to wean them off of it.
See?
He didn't want to drink it yet, but will.
Get him hooked now.
We all do at some point. I'll drink coffee, right? But it's never caught on. I don't know. I'm a tea guy. What can I say? I spilled green tea all over the problem sets I was returning to my students the other day, just all over the top of it.
What about the exam that somebody submitted to me today that was soaking wet? I was like, you've been at your desk this whole time. Like, what has happened to this exam?
Don't ask.
No. You were wearing your latex gloves, I hope.
Right? Oh, yes.
Did you test it?
I'm going to save a piece of it. I'm going to do an extraction.
Far enough.
Yes.
Let's move on to something else.
Chemical instrumentation.
No, I remember TAing for a class of 350 when I was in graduate school. And the second time we came to the exam and the students were turning them in, my TA friend had on our nitrile gloves.
It's like, just terrible what nerves can do to some students.
I said, what's the deal? He goes, check it out. And like it was planned, like it was scripted, like in the background of our conversation, someone turns something in, sneezes directly onto it, and then goes, it's a nasal event. We got to grade these for the next couple hours, so it's not going to be pretty. Professor Heather Hill Vasquez is here from English.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. We also have Saturday pretty booked.
Yeah. You going down?
Yeah. Well, I have to go to a baby shower.
Okay.
And then Olivia is in the Berkeley Holiday Lights
Parade.
Yay. Yes.
That's what we'd be doing if we weren't going to Noel night.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do that. And then we're going to try to get down to Noel night for at least a little bit.
Cool. Very cool. What is she going to do? I got to ask.
Her dance team performs. They have these lovely light up gloves.
I like it already.
Yeah, and big candy canes.
my hometown, oh, Berkeley, Michigan.
So, maybe I'll come.
Very cool.
Oh, wait, my team.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to be a little busy.
You're going to be lighting all those luminaries.
Don't remind me.
And forging iron.
Oh, I'm going to be losing a thumb to my lighter tomorrow night.
It's okay, Dave. I'll just tell Olivia you are there and then.
Mm-hmm. You're we're just not spirit. Seeing him right now, but he's here.
He lives in Berkeley. It counts.
Yeah, it's true.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. Since, of course, today is our holiday show, and of course I say that very specifically because that's the way Kathy Bush would have back in the day, bring up the fact that we have some questions not sent to us by Holly Berry, who always seemed to turn in questions at that time of year, but we have some questions from Carl Dooling of Madrid, Iowa.
Ooh, wow.
And,
a new spot.
It's a new spot. We got to make sure we put that on the map. My guess is it's around Des Moines somewhere. But also, you know, Carl, by the time you listen to this, we'll already know who wins the Big Ten championship game. But, of course, we wish your Hawkeyes best of luck, even right. though we're hoping they get trounced by the Spartans. I have a couple.
Oh, well, that's the last time Carl sends in questions.
This is the first time I've seen this in the years that I've been host. The greeting is, hi, ATPs. I only have a couple of Christmas questions for you. As a K-12 art teacher for many years, Christmas illustrations have always interested me. So something about illustration. Luckily, we have an illustrator.
Oh, crud. I have to work again?
He has to do everything.
Everything.
We just dump everything on him.
Oh, thanks.
What 19th century cartoonist popularized modern-day Santa image by combining British's Father Christmas, the British Father Christmas, the Dutch Sinterklaas, and the Scandinavian Juliens.
Nast.
Nast.
Thomas Nast?
Tom Nast. Mm. Yes. Not nasty, just
he
Nast.
Also gave us the elephant and the donkey, uh-huh. didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, that's
Boss
right.
Tweed and all that other fun stuff. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way I remember.
That's how I learned history.
Mm-hmm.
Political cartoons.
Give me the year that Tom Nast's first Santa illustration appeared. It was on the cover of Harper's, if you can believe it.
1851.
Oh, you know, it's a little later than that.
It's like 1895?
No, it's a little earlier than that.
1881.
No, it was 1862 of all years.
Okay. Oh, right during the Civil War.
Dab in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for Dan to solve it mathematically, that's all.
Mm-hmm. No, I saw you waiting. Accounting. One, two, ounce.
It's his fault. He guessed too high.
I'm sorry.
During the Civil War, Thomas Nast, in his illustrations, had Santa visiting a Civil War camp dressed like what icon?
Father Time, Death?
Abraham Lincoln?
No, a little more theoretical and make-believe than those things.
Uncle Sam?
Uncle Sam is what it was. That's the clue that got you there. Huh?
Hmm.
Good old Uncle Sam Santa hybrid.
Not real?
Quiet.
No,
tell
he's not.
Don't tell him.
Yes, Daniel, there is an Uncle Sam.
Yes,
don't
there is.
Burst the
he
bubble.
He just doesn't solve any problems at the federal level. Yeah.
Not enough.
But he wants you.
Kendra, you
now.
It's a redemption.
Okay, I'm ready.
When did Tom Nast draw his last Christmas Day picture for Harper's? What year?
1882.
Kendra?
1881.
1886. Oh,
1886.
I was closer,
you were
Kendra.
Yeah. You were.
I know.
Yep. Of course, I definitely believe that we've already jumped over this, but might as well bring it up. Nast also popularized two other icons in the era, the Democratic donkey and the Republican elephant. Absolutely. Yep. Of course, reminds me of a classic Simpsons episode.
Everything
does.
All I'm going to say is in the episode, Bart wins an elephant by winning a radio contest.
Oh,
and it goes on a rampage,
yes.
And it goes through a Democratic convention to which everybody boos it, and then it goes through a Republican convention to which everybody cheers it.
While they're being trampled.
Well, yes, because the background joke is that there are banners on the wall. At the Democratic convention, the banners are being trounced by the elephant. They say, "We can't govern." And driving through the Republican one, "We're evil." it covers all the bases. On Christmas Eve, 1822, classical scholar Clement C. Moore wrote what Christmas classic?
A Visit from St. Nicholas.
A Visit from St. Nicholas, also known as Twas the Night Before Christmas.
He was the ancestor of a friend of mine.
No? I would have answered that correctly.
Yes, no, you got it. I'm saying, you got it.
Twas the night before Christmas,
and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring.
Not even a mouse.
I like the part where he throws up.
throws up the sack.
Oh, my kids love, they always make a puking noise whenever we meet.
I like my mind, her kerchief, and I in my cab.
It just settled our for a long brains for a night.
The finger next to the nose.
That's the coolest part. It says here, Moore was the one who added the description of Santa from the perspective of being perhaps elfin, the miniature sleigh, and of course, eight tiny reindeer.
And rotund.
Yes. Most of the information on these questions came from William Glover's compiled The Christmas Drawings of Thomas Nast with a foreword done by Norman Rockwell. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I wondered about Norman
Illustration.
Rockwell.
Now,
it's a living. Somebody's got to do it.
Nast was a pretty gutsy guy.
Yeah. Yes, huh? Very political.
Took out Boss Tweed and overthrew all that. So,
do you ever hit on stuff of that era? Yes. Rockwell, Nast, like that?
Yes.
I think it's cool stuff.
There's actually a history of illustration class.
Oh, okay.
And they bring me in to lecture on the Marvel Comics, the Comics Code, and Mad Magazine.
I love it.
That's my little niche of...
How about Gary Trudeau? That would be a good addition.
That's not necessarily historical enough yet. You know, we want to go...
Oh, it's very historical.
They want to go like 50s and 60s.
Oh, okay.
A class like that, are you specifically talking about American or worldwide illustration?
Worldwide.
Oh, okay, cool. Dear professors...
That would be us.
Who are those people?
I don't know.
I know your academic year must be coming to a close soon.
Thank God.
Really?
Not soon enough.
Yes. Please,
you always put out a call for holiday questions. I have heeded your call.
Mm.
Below are a meager 10 holiday questions. Please enjoy. And the warmest of holiday wishes to all, from my family to yours, Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. For the record, time I've ever seen him not mention how nice and warm the weather is. But it's nice and warm here, too.
Right? It is.
No complaints.
And with El Nino, he may be getting a lot of precipitation. He'll be spared.
True that. We won't, for the record, as a result of El Nino.
I'm sure he's praying for that precipitation.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. They need it.
Yeah.
Of course, they get mudslides if there's more than about an inch.
That's not as good, yeah. Not as good.
How many of the gifts of the 12 days of Christmas aren't birds?
Oh, my goodness.
Maids, lords,
ladies leaping,
drummers,
drummers, maids of milking.
No, that's...
Somebody say maids of jumping, dancing, and I couldn't handle it.
12 drummers, drumming.
Seven birds. Swans.
Five golden rings.
Six.
Six is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically, Dan saw
five gold rings.
Yeah, but I wasn't thinking as quickly as you.
Three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
You guys are getting ready for caroling tomorrow night, aren't you? Dan.
I'm getting warmed up.
That's what I said.
Nobody guess we're going to have to think about Kendra the 12 gifts people out there. The 12 days of Christmas while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your holiday host, Kathy Bush, and today we have our regulars back with us. What does the 12th night actually mean?
It's the 12th night after Epiphany.
It is Epiphany.
It is a feast day known to Canadians as Little Christmas. That? We cannot take down our tree until after Little Christmas. Oh, that is a family tradition.
And then you can put it in front or what?
Yes. And it is watched and stalked as they take it away. Yeah, there's a truck that comes around and throws all of the dried out limbs.
My gosh.
There.
Her father is a trash fanatic.
Oh,
it has to be picked up. And
all right.
Yeah, it has to be done that way.
He times it.
Then they get put through that wood chipper in Fargo.
Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. We had only done one, Frank, so we got 9 more to go to get through these holiday questions. It's too bad we don't have 12. That'd be one for every day of Christmas, right? According to tradition, what must be saved after you're done burning the Yule log?
The house?
Yes.
The ashes?
Not the ashes, but you're in the wheelhouse, as
ivy,
we like to say.
The greenery, the, no, if the you, berries.
If you burn the Yule log, what's left? Yeah. Ashes, right?
The bark.
You have to be very careful about this, if I remember the tradition correctly. British tradition primarily, but it's practiced by lots of European countries.
You can't burn it all the way down?
It's close enough. You take a piece of wood that is unburned, and that must be what you use to light the next log. Save it for a year.
It's like, it's like pizza dough.
What do you store it with?
Yeah,
kind of like burning the Palm Sunday branches to make the ashes for next year's.
That's true. For next year's Ash Wednesday.
Yeah,
that's right.
I like my idea. You know, take that little piece of wood, soak it in kerosene till next year. It'll light up real fast.
It'll light up fine.
It'll torch up real fast.
Yeah. Whoosh.
The Christmas Carol Jingle Bells was first published
that's
under what as its title? Wouldn't call it a carol either, you
Dashing
know?
Through the snow?
How about one more line?
In a one-horse open sleigh?
Yes. And as the tradition goes, you're right. I wouldn't call it a carol. It's more of a song. And frankly, it was written as a celebration of early American Thanksgiving. As weird as that
and
sounds.
That was always one of those songs I always remember as a kid, always butchering the lines. You know, what's that soap and sleigh thing, you know?
Well, you know, walking in a winter wonderland is the same way.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
More Thanksgiving than it is Christmas.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Yes, Jingle Bells is just such an iconic tune that the second you start singing it, pretty much everybody knows what's going on. But nobody knows that much about the second and third verse. That's one of my favorite pieces of trivia.
Well, we got upsot.
We got upsot.
Isn't
exactly,
it like
with Fanny Bright.
A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride.
I love you know it. That's great.
And soon Miss
Fanny Bright.
There, see, you just know it.
Was seated by my side. The horse was leaning like misfortune seemed to slot. It got into a drifted bank and we got upsot.
We got upsot.
We got upsot.
So to speak.
Ever sing that.
If you know what that means.
I don't want
to
hear
it. It's like the second verse to the Star Spangled Banner. There's five verses of the Star Spangled Banner.
Or we got upset, depending on how
early.
What nationality introduced Christmas cookies to Canada in the 1700s?
Canada.
No. Yeah, I love how specific this question is.
It's not the British Isles?
How about the Netherlands?
No.
Denmark?
Christmas cookies?
No, but you're getting closer with Denmark. It's just Germany here. Yeah.
Germany introduced Christmas cookies to Canada.
In the 1700s. We'll take it.
Of course. We will gladly take it. Christmas cookies anytime.
Yes. What country once, technically still has, a female mythological character that does the same things that Santa Claus does called La Befana?
Is it Sweden?
It's not Sweden.
Spain?
Norway.
France.
French?
Spain?
Not heard it yet.
What, Italian?
Italy?
It's Italy, yes.
Okay.
She is a witch that brings you presents.
Ooh,
so she's a
good
witch.
She's a good witch. La Befana means the good witch.
At the same holiday? Witch, Christmas.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is which?
If you really want an eye-opener, and it's fully available, uncut, on YouTube, check Rick Steves is the guy that teaches you how to go to travel Europe.
Yeah.
He has a European Christmas special that is bang up.
I just saw it last week.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah, it is. But I thought she was... Well, they decorate somebody up in Scandinavia with
the candles.
Gold, yeah, the candles in the hair and everything.
Santa Lucia.
Santa Lucia.
Isn't it interesting that the Italians wrote the song about Santa Lucia?
That's right.
That they sing,
but they
in,
sing in
Italian, Norway.
In Norway.
I have
That's
a question.
Right.
How did Rick Steves get that incredible job? I'm
he
so
beat me
he made
jealous.
It himself. He created it himself.
He beat me to it, the dirty dog.
I know. I love his job.
Can you imagine that? You get to go around 5-star hotels,
that,
film yourself.
That spending Christmas in the Swiss Alps was really brilliant.
Yeah. It was really cool. I mean, my wife watched it with me a couple years ago, and then we found it again on YouTube, and she had, like, all teared up. It's like really, really sort of emotionally
And his son going
connected.
Around playing the, because his son is usually trying to stay out of the camera range in all of the episodes.
It's pretty cute.
Did they go to any, like, Christmas markets in Germany?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
all
really,
over.
Rick Steves shows up at PBS and says, hey, I want you to pay me to go around to all these great hotels in foreign countries. And,
although I have bought some of his guides.
I'll talk about it a little bit.
And his guides are good because they tell you where to find the ATMs, where to find the laundromats.
No.
He's an expert traveler. That much is for absolute sure. Mm-hmm. And he knows Germany almost as good as Professor Tubbs.
No. He's taught me.
Oh. Who wrote the Christmas murder mystery, Starbright, A Christmas Story? This I'm not familiar with, but
me neither.
Initials AG, famous
Agatha Christie.
Yeah, knockoff. No.
AG.
First name Andrew.
Andrew Garfield.
Gunter.
Spider-Man.
No, I recognize it as a famous murder mystery writer, but Andrew Greeley is what it is.
Oh. Greeley.
Who is actually a sociologist by trade.
Interesting. In the Christmas Carol, Frosty the Snowman, Christmas song. Winter song.
Yes.
What were Frosty's last words?
Again someday.
I wet myself.
Jim, of course, carol and song expert. I'll be back again someday.
Yeah. Yes,
I'll be back.
Oh, I thought you said the last two words.
I thought it was bumpity bump.
I'll be back again someday as he melts away.
Frosty go.
In the sunshine.
I wet myself.
Wait, that sounds like General MacArthur.
I wet you.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's move on.
Yes, Mom.
Sadly,
somebody has to be.
Brickhouse Security now offers a service to people who put crash scenes in front of their homes. What is it?
Crash scene?
Crash. Nativity scenes.
Oh.
That against theft?
Theft of baby Jesus is what they do. Yep.
But see, baby Jesus shouldn't be there until Christmas.
I had not lived here but like 3 months when on Channel 4, Mort Krim was interviewing the priest of a downriver church, which had a life-size lit crash scene on the front lawn, and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus had been stolen.
Aww.
And the interview ended with the priest looking very reverent and saying that, you know, well, we do find some comfort in the fact that at least the Holy Family is
together.
Because Mort Krim just lost it.
Oh, no.
That's so sad. There's a very specific.
So what do they do? Do they put like a GPS unit in Jesus' diaper?
A GPS tracking device.
Oh, no. That makes total
nativity
sense.
Nativity figures.
What happens to the baby when he's stolen? I mean, what does it go to another nativity scene, or is it just stolen just to make somebody else's scene not be complete?
It's just stolen as a joke.
I think it's a prank.
Yeah. Is it like gnomes?
It's a horrible prank.
It is terrible.
It's kind of. I mean, it's no different than any other stealing. But if it's
No,
but
it is different.
Yeah, it is.
It's baby Jesus.
Yes.
Lies
it
make
is
it's not really baby Jesus.
What?
It's not really.
No!
My husband and his brother used to replace baby Jesus with little Star Wars figurines.
Oh, absolutely.
Fresh under the scene.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like baby Yoda.
Now, if it was up to me, I would replace baby Jesus with like a 60-watt light bulb.
I know that's not funny, but that's
my my great niece used to, when she got one of those fold-up baby carriages when she was about 2 or 3. She delighted in taking baby Jesus around for a ride around the house. She would take baby Jesus around out from the nativity scene, put him in the seat of her stroller, and go careening around the hardwood floors.
No, that's actually very good. She's caring for baby Jesus.
Absolutely.
That's very good.
She was just quite distressed that baby Jesus could not sit up, but that was the...
So he couldn't see.
He was made of wood.
That's a disadvantage. That is a disadvantage.
Heather, it's very well known in the Mayo household that when the boys were younger, if you pointed to St. Joseph and said, who is this, that they would respond. The real St. Joseph figurine, they would call him Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
Yes.
It only makes sense. He's wearing, robes.
I knew you were going to say that.
Sure.
So, I knew it. I knew it.
In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Yes.
What career did George Bailey originally aspire to?
Architect.
Architect is what it says.
Hey, you're in the play.
Got it covered.
And last but certainly not least, some great questions. Thanks a lot, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
Who composed the Christmas Oratorio in 1734?
Bach. Sweet.
Yeah, it was Bach.
Mm. Very good.
We had a nice little lab exam in my building the other day, and I played them a bunch of Bach to calm them down, and it worked pretty well, actually. It worked.
Jim, you know we have a choir at CCS. You want to join?
Absolutely.
Yes.
For tomorrow night.
Okay. This is a set of questions, ironically, even after I made fun of it, actually submitted by Holly Berry. So we actually have some Holly Berry questions this year.
We apologize, Holly.
The first company that manufactured Christmas tree lights was?
Edison?
It was Edison. Yeah, Thomas Edison's
company.
And they were clear.
Because my father talks about putting them on their tree in like 1921 or 22.
Wow.
Were they big?
They were big. Yeah, they were kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody here remember, like, I remember as a little kid, like, going to the Edison stores and trading in light bulbs or getting light bulbs for free.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, some of us aren't that
old. We didn't
old.
Get them for free.
We did. Hmm. Remember that? Was the one on, was it Grand River and Lasser thereabouts? Or used to be the Edison store?
Well, actually, I'm remembering every time that I'm with a grandparent or a parent and I drive down to UDM, which they visit every once in a while, there is a little store that says telephone service on Livernois, just across the street from the university. And that's where my parents remember as children coming to swap broken light bulbs for others.
They would swap them out for you.
Yep,
yeah, free.
What was so important... And we should be able to find a locus around the year number here. About Christmas Day 1830, it was a really big deal on Christmas Day 1830 in the United States of America. What was it?
It's the first day it became a federal holiday?
No. Something happened first on that day. It has to do with transportation.
Santa got a V8.
A train route was opened
The first passenger train route was opened in 1830. Yeah, so
I thought something like NORAD.
That's not
track
very
Santa
Christmassy.
Does it specify
it's
where
not
it
very
was?
Christmassy.
No.
Was Santa the first passenger?
No.
Was it the Polar Express?
It was people covered with soot who were
the not
first.
The Polar Express.
So they were like Santa.
It's not the Polar Express, because if it was the Polar Express, all the characters would look super creepy.
Yeah,
that movie scares a lot of kids.
It is a scary movie.
It scares a lot of kids.
Which what's
Polar Express movie?
It's
the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Even the happy parts are kind of dark.
I love the special effects in it, but it
is. You do know the writer is a Michigan writer.
Oh, yeah. Chris Van Allsburg, right?
Yeah. And he shows up at Bookbeat all the time, science.
But the book was different.
It's so creepy.
The book was not as dark as the movie.
I know. Friends of mine worked on it.
Oh, well, look. We refer to the Uncanny Valley, how things that are made in the image of human beings never really achieve the full humanness.
Not yet.
And those kids are in my nightmares if that movie is out.
They are
all
so
fast.
Yeah.
They
well,
have weird shoulders, and their arms kind of hang at their sides.
And they're sort of droopy.
Yeah.
You know, though, I have to say
Tom Hanks scares me, too.
My daughter really, she just brought up that movie. So she's just four, so last year she was three. And she remembers that movie, and she said, Mom,
you're so good
remember?
At math. Wow.
Thanks. Thank you. They don't give you a PhD for nothing. Yeah. She said, Mommy, do you remember that movie with the Polar Express? And I said, yes. And she said, I would like to watch that with you again someday soon.
Oh.
And I thought that was very sweet.
I like the roller coaster ride.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, through the ice. That was great. But the kids, they're sad.
No, okay, now from...
Well, they're kind of confused because why are they doing on that train anyway?
Speaking of sad, I am sad that I have to ask you all to say goodbye, Professor Vasquez.
Goodbye.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Guten Abend.
Professor Maggio.
Merry Christmas.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.